no tax.
Thank you for your courage, Todd M. Beamer. Let's roll.
Paul Frederick Dettini.
Jane S. Beatty.
Alan Anthony Beaven.
Lawrence Ira Beck.
Ah, the world remembers. Looking back 10 years later, we will never forget on that tragedy, 9/11/2001. Obama and a former President Bush together for a first at a ceremony to mark the 10-year event, one that was pretty solemn, I would say, and one that opened some eyes perhaps at the former World Trade Center towers. Remember, it was, seems like almost yesterday, a clear, beautiful day, just destroyed in that New York City skyline when those towers went down and almost 3,000 souls lost their lives, both the Pentagon and, of course, the heroes that took the plane down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And 10 years was the, I guess, bellwether for how do we stand now? What are we about now and moving forward? How do we remember 9/11? How do we remember what happened on that day? So both presidents, just very quiet, in front of the Ground Zero Memorial Ceremony. And what it is, to describe it, and I know I've done that a few times on the show, but it's worth it to mention it again, where you have these two amazing pools that have been built, giant reflecting pools. They stand in the exact footprints of the former Twin Towers, and everybody's name is on the bronze that surrounds the towers that where they were on that pond. Absolutely stunning what they've done there. And what a way for families to now, who had nothing to go to, now for the first time, families were able to go there and see their son, their daughter, their husbands, whoever, whatever the family relationship was, to see their name. And you could certainly tell, even through the video clips that were airing, and you heard the names that are read. And every year that's done, all the names are read. But a little bit different this time around because of these ceremonies, because of the fact that now there is somewhere for the families to go. I'll tell you where we're going to go on this show. You can certainly throw in where you were 10 years ago. How do you think history does ultimately treat this event? And how safer do you think we are now at this point? And what is it like to be an American? What was today like to be an American? I went to a ball game today. I went to see the Texas Rangers take on the Oakland A's because it was an early game. And it was all about being patriotic. It was all about being an American. There were flags everywhere. They handed out ball caps where they had the T for the Texas Rangers with the red, white, and blue and the stars. And they sang God Bless America 3 times during the game, did a moment of silence, honored several families from who were touched by what happened on 9/11, honored them on the field, had them throw out first pitches. And then, of course, there were many members of the military on hand, and they were saluted and so on and so forth. Throughout the entire ball game, what you really got from the ball game was, we're America, we're back, hey, go red, white, and blue. Honestly, that's exactly what it felt like. And this is far away from New York. Dallas, Texas, Arlington, Texas, is many, many thousands of miles away from New York City, from Washington, D.C., and from Pennsylvania. But I think this day meant something to everybody, not just the victims' families. I think it goes that much deeper for all of us in this country. And so many flags were flown, not just at ball games, but all over the place. People planting flags outside of their house, putting the flag out, a lot of them at half mast. Any of them that were on buildings that were public buildings and whatnot, they were that I noticed were all flown at half mast. And how interesting is that? If you remember the days following the attack 10 years ago, it seemed like every person that you ran into had some form of an American flag with them, on them, a pin, a tattoo, something. Thousands of American flags were sold. And, of course, the number decreased over the years. But I think that this was a day where all those flags were out and on display again, and more people went out and bought them. And New York is definitely back. Because, yes, the other two spots were very, very significant. And that's why the names of all of those people were also, because they're also on other memorials, but were also put on the New York Memorial. But there's something vibrant about this city. There's a feeling, I think, a moment where you could see that New York has turned that corner. But we can never, ever forget what those people have to carry around, all those families have to live with and have lived with for a very, very long time. So the impact, we've been at war for over 10 years. Bin Laden, Osama bin Laden, is dead. Have we gotten closer to defeating Al-Qaeda? What do future generations of children growing up in this time in American history, what do you think they have to look forward to? What is the future, ultimately? We're talking about now lone wolf terrorists as probably the biggest threat, or so it seems anyway, right? And what would we do if we had another attack like the one we had on 9/11? Would we have a better form of defense? Well, we're going to answer that question, or try to tackle it anyway, because you can't completely answer that question. We're going to try to tackle it at the bottom of the hour when we talk with Jeff, or coming up around the bend, rather, when we talk with Jeff Atticott, our terrorism expert, who has come on to talk about many, many, many things that have happened in the last 2 or 3 years. He teaches courses to lawyers about terrorism law, because it's become that big at a preeminent college in San Antonio, Texas, and travels around the world advising people about ways to look for certain things for possible terrorist activity and whatnot, and has testified many times in front of Congress. So we look forward to that conversation coming up with Jeff Atticott, and looking ahead and looking truly where we are today versus where we were then. What were the lessons that we learned? What's the legacy? And so on and so forth. So welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, as we take a look back, take a look forward, and try to answer some of those questions. You can be a part of the show simply by jingling these numbers, 800-259-5791. But first, we go to Jeff next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment
frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Welcome back to America Tonight. As many of you know, we've been talking about this with my New York connection, working in New York when 9/11 happened at WFAN and how horrible it was. As I mentioned, the worst thing, just my initial emotional reaction when everything happened, was all the people that I ended up talking to on the air. We were a sports station, and of course we weren't doing any sports. We were talking to firemen and first responders and people who lost people who had hope in the beginning that they might find their husband, their wife, their sister, their daughter. I mean, just terrible, terrible, tragic stories. Where have we come, or how far have we come as a nation, security-wise, since 9/11? That's one of the many things that we're talking about during this show. And who better to talk about that kind of stuff with than terrorism expert Jeff Atticott. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great.
You know, I'll ask you this question first because everybody, it's just one of those things. Where were you when 9/11 unfolded?
I was getting ready to go to the law school to teach a class on civil procedure.
Wow. And what happened then? Did you end up calling off classes, or no, you went ahead with it and then found out later some of the things that were happening, or everybody's mind was in 10 different directions?
Yeah, we did the class, and I think I did a couple of interviews that day because I'd written a chapter in a book that came out the year before for the U.S. Army War College where I'd talked about Al-Qaeda and the fact that they were going to attack us in the very near future. And so that's really kind of the start of our Center for Terrorism Law is obviously looking at all the legal issues, but it was a day that no one can forget above the age of 10 years old, I guess, at that time.
Yeah, no kidding. And Al-Qaeda, and talking about that, do you think that previous to 9/11, that's part of the problem, that maybe some of the threats were taken too lightly?
Well, we treated Al-Qaeda terrorist incidents before 9/11 as domestic crimes, and obviously hindsight is 20/20, and that was a mistake. The Clinton administration even admitted, Anthony Lake, National Security Advisor, said that they didn't take it as seriously as they should have. We had the intelligence that things were going on. The Clinton administration, as we know, had set up these artificial walls between the intelligence gatherers and law enforcement officials, so they couldn't talk to each other. The information was there, but we couldn't put all the pieces together when these folks were going to flight training courses and not learning how to land airplanes.
Yeah, no kidding. And too bad they didn't connect those dots, because what a difference that could have made made in this whole case. Who knows? And now, do you feel like, because that was the whole idea, Homeland Security? I mean, what's your take on the Department of Homeland Security?
Well, unfortunately, in the last couple of years, it's become very politicized, and that's one of the tragedies here. When you hear Janet Napolitano get on TV and say this, that, or the other thing, there's a huge dose of politics involved. And, you know, when she makes statements like the border is as safe as it's ever been, and then she had this silly idea that they were looking for right-wing extremists in the early days of the Obama administration, ignoring the threat of radical Islam, banning the word terrorism, you know, it was a man-caused disaster, and all the silly politics that they were playing. And that's unfortunate. And I think that's my greatest problem with this administration, is lack of clarity and huge doses of schizophrenic activity on how to deal with the enemy. And so, you know, we're at war with these people. It's been 10 years now, and we still have a very confused White House. They simply refuse to acknowledge clearly who the enemy is, whether military commissions are good or bad, whether Gitmo should be closed or not closed. I mean, it's just outrageous that we don't have some clarity and a separation of politics from this White House.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So under the umbrella of Homeland Security, I have to ask you this, because you and I talk about this all the time, and many people have heard you on with me now over the last couple of years, and we've talked about the TSA and the things that have happened with the TSA, and that was also really started because of 9/11. That's what happened there. What do you think should really be happening at the airports as far as screening?
Well, they're probably doing as good as they can. As I've said many times, if you're trying to stop these folks at the airport, you're too late.
Yeah.
You've got to have emphasis on the intelligence gatherers so they can find out what the jihadists, the domestic jihadists that are not affiliated with Al-Qaeda, and the Al-Qaeda operatives that are trying to destroy us. You know, what are they doing? What are they planning? Where are they? That's where you should spend most of your resources in finding out what they're doing. And so I'm a big believer in using the resources, probably about 60-40 if you had to divide it. And yet this administration is about 80% concentrated at the airport, and you know, they don't have enough emphasis, in my opinion, on the intelligence gathering part of it. And I point to Alab Mutalib, the underwear bomber. I mean, there were so many indications from the State Department to the watch list that this guy was on, and it was just a total ridiculous fiasco when it came to trying to stop this fellow. And it wasn't the law enforcement people that did it. It was a citizen, you know, it was an airline official and some private people on that plane. And of course, thank goodness the timer on the bomb was not adequately set. So they, you know, if that would have went off, it would have killed hundreds of people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No kidding. Moving forward, and if this was your charge, if you weren't doing such a great job with the law school and, you know, the Center for Terrorism Law, St. Mary's, if you weren't doing that, and, of course, you're traveling around and helping others, and you're hired to do all kinds of things, and you've spoke up on the Hill and whatnot, if you, though, were charged with trying to figure out, okay, what do we need to do? So you can never 100% say that you're 100% safe, but if you were charged with trying to shore things up, what would you do, Jeff, differently? How would you revamp this? You've talked about this a little bit, about some of the politicizing and what's now happened, but what are some of the things that you would implement?
Well, I would certainly implement clarity at the White House if I could, wave a magic wand, because this war is also about propaganda. It's not, you know, the steel on target, but it's a propaganda effort. 85-90% of the jihadists, for example, in Afghanistan, they can't read or write. And so we've got to reach out to them and show these people that we are strong, that we're vibrant, that we mean business, and we have an opportunity to do that. When Osama bin Laden was killed, we didn't do it because we should have immediately withdrawn and then prepared ourselves for the next threat. I mean, it's just really it's a matter of clarity because our enemies get the confused message and they say, oh, the Americans are saying military commissions are evil and bad. The Americans want to close Guantanamo Bay. The Americans torture people. And this is all false. So we need to project an image of strength, of clarity, that we will not compromise with these people, that if we do encounter anything in terms of violence, we will return it tenfold. We will track them down in Yemen. We will do whatever is necessary, and we're not going to be involved in all this nation-building nonsense of democratization concepts in Afghanistan. It's simply not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you there. The other play and the thing that we talk about and you know, you're mentioning this when we're talking about the pieces in the Middle East is the play on Pakistan. What do you make of what's really going on in Pakistan?
Well, Pakistan is, they have so many fault lines in that country. They have a large minority of the population are radicalized, extreme radicals that believe in the Taliban, the Al-Qaeda mentality. You have other individuals that are very modern and Western thinking. You have the military that want to maintain power. You've got a whole, you know, middle class of people that are supportive of ideas associated with democracy. But it's a very troubled country, and of course they have nuclear weapons. I think the only way we can really deal with them again is from a position of strength, and that's how you deal with other nation states that are problematic, by sending them billions of dollars, which we've done in the last 10 years, both administrations. We really have gotten nothing for our money. Every once in a while they'll come in and clamp down on a jihadist to show that they're doing something. But that's simply not sufficient. I think that in warfare you have to identify the center of gravity and go in, crush it, and get out. So you either go all the way or you don't go at all. And these half measures in Afghanistan, both under Bush and now under Obama, are destructive to the war effort. So I think with the Pakistanis, you simply relay to them that we are going to, you know, that we're not going to be involved and tied down in this chasing of windmills, that we're going to turn their neighbor into a democracy. We just simply have to deal with them from a position of strength and say what we mean and mean what we say.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Perfect way to end this. Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert, thanks as always for popping on America Tonight.
My pleasure.
You've been lied to. Lied to by the Wall Street propaganda machine, the government, and the talking heads in the media. The market has proven that's more like a casino than an investment. And if you've had enough and want to keep your hard-earned money safe, this message is for you. My name is Brett Kitchen, and after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed several years ago, I said enough. Since then, I discovered a way to safely grow your money, cut taxes dramatically, get potential double-digit gains, but also have my money protected when the crashes come. Get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney used to safely grow their wealth. Just call 1-800-675-1640. Again, that's 1-800-675-1640. On the web, go to safemoneybook.com or just call 1-800-675-1640. Again, that's 800-675-1640.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't let summer be a bummer. Stop sunburn pain, poison ivy, and mosquito bite itch, and the burn of athlete's foot with just one Safol natural first aid product, Dermatol. Many GCN listeners have already discovered how effective Dermatol is as a natural, non-acidic way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many skin problems. Now this special offer. Buy one bottle of Dermatol, get one bottle free. Call 1-800-217-6677 and mention GCN. Dermatol is the must-have first aid product for your preparedness kit. Made in America by Americans, Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. And ask for the GCN Buy One, Get One Free Special, or use coupon code GCN at checkout at DermatolUSA.com. Spelled DermatolUSA.com. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products, but increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water, and because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water, with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Tonight, and of course, we're talking mostly about 9/11 and looking through the eyes of 10 years ago and then fast forwarding and trying to make sense of where we're headed as a nation a decade later. Are we safer? Are we stronger? You just heard that conversation with Jeff Atticott and what he thought the politics of it all were so crushing, and not so much in looking back, okay, yeah, we missed this, we missed that, but in leaning forward and what happens with the play in Pakistan, and here we are in Afghanistan and coming out of Iraq, and ultimately what does all that mean and what's the impact on the upcoming generations? You know, how long is too long, and once we leave Afghanistan, what happens there? And what about the hunt for everyone in Al-Qaeda? And the answer to that is you will never completely stamp out terrorism. Anyone will tell you that, because nothing is ever 100% anyway. And I think the future is about lone wolf terrorists, as I mentioned at the top of the show. That might be the biggest threat, and it makes sense. People that are part of the movement decide they're part of the movement, but the sick, twisted brilliance of some of the Al-Qaeda quotes leaders is using the websites, using the rhetoric, all that kind of stuff, not just going to certain mosques and trying to poison certain minds and trying to infiltrate a group of, I'll call them young men, who are disillusioned, who still want the dream of martyrdom. It's moved even further beyond that, and that's the idea of the lone wolf terrorist, I think, which may be the scariest scenario of all. Coming up at the end of the show, we will hit odds and ends because we still have to update you, and we don't want to forget what's currently going on in our own backyards, like the Texas fire, what's happened there, what happened with some of the people there, and a couple of other things as well. Quickly, we'll hit on those, not just completely shut out the rest of what's going on in the world. But talking about September 11th, and I mentioned the ceremony that took place with the two presidents earlier in the day. And, of course, there were great ceremonies, and I say great because the families were there, and they've set up some wonderful things for the families, and I think that's key to be able to go someplace, to be able to have a name somewhere, some place to look at, some place to feel as though their soul, frankly, is there, I guess. And I think that's what you get in New York. I think that's how many of the family members feel. And it was a very patriotic Sunday, one of the most patriotic times I can remember in my lifetime, other than after 9/11, living in the Northeast and what it was like in the Northeast at that time, and of course across the country too. So here's a little bit, and it's a little lengthy, here's a little bit of what the president had to say concerning the day and 9/11. Take a listen.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord. Was made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge.
All right, there were a lot of those kinds of speeches. And, of course, that was the president putting it into perspective and using the Bible to bring it around, I guess, is the right way to say that. It's been a decade since, as we said, those towers went down in New York. The plane went into the Pentagon and, of course, what happened in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. So where have we gone in that decade since then? I think, if anything, for sure, certainly the United States has showed resilience. The people themselves, we the people, I believe, have showed an amazing amount of resilience, and the families that had to come back from that and carry around in their heart forever what happened. It's like I say, how do you walk in their shoes? Just imagine one day someone you really, really care about, or a really tight buddy who you hang around. And, you know, today's a great example where you might go to the local watering hole and watch the football game. What? Imagine if suddenly that person is poof, gone from your life. You can't even text them nothing about what happened in the game. So the president, in talking a little bit further, he talked a lot about the uncertainty and grief that suddenly we were thrust into, the war that we were thrust into. And he spoke at a memorial concert in Washington, too. He closed the services, he closed the day of services to honor the people who died in what he said was a rededication of ourselves to the ideas that define our nation. And looking back at those ideals and character of our country that withstood a very big historic test, said that, you know, we took a painful blow, and are we stronger than before? And so he was, of course, part of several visits, like I mentioned, the September 11th memorials throughout the day, all of them, and paid tribute, actually, Sunday night to the soldiers, which is good, because we don't want to forget the soldiers in all of this. What has happened since that day? What have we done as far as going to Iraq and going to Afghanistan and, of course, the heightened awareness in some of the other departments? As much as we can argue about the misses, there have been some brilliant people who work for the CIA, the FBI, et cetera, that have put things together and thwarted attacks. You know, nameless people who have done some incredible, incredible things that, you know, you may never, ever know about. And that's something that's different. Even though there still is holes, there's holes that we don't like. Homeland Security, TSA, what's happened with the TSA in some cases, and the craziness of that at the airports and whatnot. But at the same time, there are so many others that shouldn't get lumped into categories because of the sacrifices they've made and what they have done since that awful, awful, awful day. And then the attacks that have happened in other places since then. If you think of 2004, the bomb attacks to the commuter trains in Madrid just a couple of days before the general elections. Remember there, that killed 191 people. And the suicide bombers, the attacks in London, that killed 52 and injured scores, hundreds of others. Then the multiple bombs in the trains in Mumbai in 2006, more than 200 people killed there and injured almost 1,000 people. Awful. And, of course, the list goes on and on and on. But still, it's important to put it into perspective, like I say, and you think of the images and how they're kind of frozen in time for many of us. Somebody said to me today, somebody emailed me and asked, because I was in the Northeast and I was going back and forth actually from the Northeast to Texas and had flown a lot, and what was that like? And also had asked, what did I think was the image that I took away from this? And I thought it was a great question, because to me there were several images. I don't know that it's just one. I mean, everybody thinks about the towers going down and the planes hitting the towers, but what really stood out for me, especially in doing a radio show at WFAN in New York, was the people themselves, and these men that just were down hour after hour looking desperately for people and not finding anything but body parts, frankly. And then the fact that while it was happening, before the buildings went down and the fire was so bad and the people that were had a choice, either be burned alive in the towers where the planes had hit or jump, I think the image of people jumping was just an awful one. That's really something you never forget seeing. That many of you, of course, have seen that on video as well. And the flights, Flight 11, Flight 175, Flight 77, Flight 93. We must never, ever, ever forget.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health Products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use EscapeHarassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop. Stop buying metal lids and get Tattler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tattler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tattler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tattler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tattler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Tonight, you know what I love about being an American? The fact that all of us can have different opinions, and we can express the opinions, and no one shuts us up. At least not yet, because we've really fought to hold on to those freedoms, right? So whatever you think happened on 9/11, because there are people that have lots of conspiracy theories, and, you know, I'm not one to shatter anyone's research or feelings about what they really truly believed happened, but I'm not of the conspiracy variety on this at all. There are things that I believe have been done without us knowing it, of course, us being the people, but I don't think so when it comes to what happened at the Pentagon, knowing people and having good sources there, New York, or the plane, of course, the people that got up and ultimately landed that plane in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. because we certainly have lost or did lose too many people, almost 3,000, and we don't want to lose that in the conversation, dishonoring the memories, I think, of these people and the trees of people, ultimately, that are connected. It wasn't just almost 3,000 people. You could multiply that by at least 150 times, probably even more, because of the people that they touch. You know, it's that touchstone thing, touchstone thing, where you touch one person, then you touch another person. And so I think the Day of Remembrance is a very, very, very important one. And as much as we talk about what we think happened, the things that we didn't know, the things that have happened since then, that's why it's great to be an American. Because if we lived in Venezuela, the butcher would shut us up, Hugo Chavez. If we lived in Red Dragon, if we lived in China, as much as there's beautiful areas to go and visit and see when you travel, if you are somebody from China, you're living in a communist country where their own rules, I mean, really, literally you are, where their own rules apply. What ultimately you're supposed to believe, let's say. So you have that state-run news agencies and the censorships that you have to go through. Same thing in North Korea. Obviously, we could list all the countries, but you're well aware of what, you know, what those countries are. And that's the greatest thing about being an American, because you can think one guy is full of it and the other person is dead right on, or you love what somebody else is saying, or you can't stand what somebody else is saying, but you have the freedom of choice, and we have those freedoms because of the people who are willing to fight and die for them, because of the people who have done that in the past, and we can never, never forget that either. Never. When we remember and remember the victims, that's what's so great about this 9/11 memorial and museum that's going to come up, this museum pavilion in New York City with the reflecting pools, the massive pools with waterfalls, and around the inner sides that are positioned there in the footprints of the towers, each pool holds 480,000 gallons of water. They say it takes about 15 hours or so to fill the whole thing up, and they're lined with 1,900 granite tiles. And you have the names of all the people, all the victims, around those pools on the outer edges. I mean, just absolutely spectacular what they've done to change what that place was, that deep hole in the earth with the 400 trees plus. So Mayor Bloomberg, somebody who I usually wouldn't see eye to eye on, actually talked about something that I think hit home. He talked about the passage of time. Take a listen.
Children who lost their parents have grown into young adults. Grandchildren have been born, and good works and public service have taken root to honor those we loved and lost.
Yep. A lot of good things have happened in the wake of this. It sounds almost, it's almost creepy to not to say it, but it's almost, because it was such a terrible thing that happened, how do you move forward? How do you move away from it? And that's exactly what all those children had to do, because there were children that were born who never saw their father, never saw their mother. It wasn't just always a father. You know, a child that was born, let's say, and the young mother was working in one of the towers. That was the case in several of the families who lost wives, several of the men who lost wives. It wasn't just the men, it was women too. So you had, I think, 76% of the people who were killed were men, and something like 25% were women. But boy, looking back on it and thinking of those 10 years, and I mentioned the flights, and I was looking before we got on the air, I was looking once again at the plane's flight paths and, you know, what happened there ultimately with that American flight, which was the first plane that took off from Boston's Logan International Airport, and how many people were on board that, 81 passengers, 11 crew on that, just going about their business of either pleasure, a family, a young family was going there for the first time to go to Disneyland because it was going to Los Angeles. Others were going there for business. Others were going home, and there were five hijackers on board, including Muhammad Atta. And just awful, awful what ended up being the destination of those people when the plane crashed into the North Tower at the World Trade Center and then the North Tower itself collapsing. So that, think about that. The plane hit the North Tower at 8:46 and then the tower went down at 10:28. Ooh. I said that we would also mention a couple of other things, odds and ends on the day, because I didn't want to, besides remembering what happened and marking 9/11, I didn't want to not move forward and talk about some things that we're facing right now, including, because I've gotten so many notes from many of you asking about the fire in Texas. And that fire, they say 17 people, they're trying to locate 17 people as a result of the fire, and still those fires burn in some areas outside of Austin, Texas, the capital of the Lone Star State, seems to be the worst, even though parts of the bigger ones are getting under control. But the fact that you've got thousands of acres burned and 1,500 homes lost, just horrific what's happened because of the drought. It makes it that much worse. The grass is like hay, and the fires spread so rapidly. Once a fire gets going, it's like it can't get enough air, and it just spreads out in a matter of minutes. And I think that's why so many homes were lost, because they had a hard time trying to do whatever they could to contain it. It was just that bad. It was that awful with the conditions that there was no way to do it. So you had some people who were trying desperately to save their homes and standing there with hoses, spraying anything they could, trying to end run the fire and putting their own lives in danger. That's just how sad it was for some of those folks who did not want to give up. They didn't want to give up. Another thing that many of you have emailed me about is, because I've talked about it so much on the show, is please don't get away without telling us about Gaddafi. And they're focusing on where he could have fled to. It is rather odd, isn't it? Didn't you think, first of all, when this all happened in February, it seemed like, wow, Muammar Gaddafi's going down. Who knows, he's going to be tried. Well, it's pretty trying to find him. It looks as though he has enough loyal people that he has been able to get away somehow. And now this transition, as they try to take control of everything, you still have troops that are loyal to Muammar Gaddafi who are firing on the rebels. So the answer to the question is no, they don't know where he is, and there still is fighting in the outskirts of Tripoli. Wow. Send me your thoughts, americatonight.net.